May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I think most of you know that for years now I've had a connection with a monastery in France, which is called Thésée. Thésée is not your usual monastery. For instance, there are no ancient stone buildings, there are no beautiful arched cloisters, but there are thousands, tens of thousands of young people who visit every week and singing that makes your heart soar. Thousands of people lifting their voices together in song, in harmony, in praise to God. It is as if the dome of heaven has been opened and you are sitting amidst the choir of angels. Thésée is famous around the world for its music. We sing some of it here at St. George's. When we sing just before communion, "Let all who are thirsty come," that's a Thésée song. And for a whole number of years before that, we sung "Eat This Bread," and that's also a Thésée song. One of the most famous Thésée songs has got to be a song called "Ubi Caritas." It's in Latin, "Ubi Caritas et amor, ubi caritas Deus ibi est." It means, where there is charity, where there is love, God is there. Now, we often sing this song when we sing Thésée music in North America. We often sing in beautiful settings and with lights down low. So we're having a Thésée service on Friday. We're not going to sing Ubi Caritas, but it's going to be like this, like the lights down low, and beautiful candles. It's very, very beautiful. It's quiet, and it's also nice. It's also nice. We're at peace, and we're calm, and we feel all warm. It's so nice. The first time that I sung Ubi Caritas, it was nothing at all like that. It was my first week at Thésée, my very first time there. There were 7,000 people there that week, and 90% of them were under 35. In the church, there's no pews. You just all sit cross-legged on this cold, threadbare carpet. It's dreadfully uncomfortable. And at first, it seems like there's barely any personal space. You know, you're seated there, you've got your shoes kind of here, and your stuff kind of here, and, you know, and your papers kind of here. But there's barely any space at all. People are kind of hemming you in on all sides. And then slowly, people keep coming. And then they come faster and faster, and all these little spaces start to fill up. You think, nobody could possibly sit there. I'll put my shoes there. And then somebody comes and sits there, so you need to find another place for your shoes. So finally, I mean, my shoes are in my lap, my purse is on top of my shoes, my windbreaker is on my shoes, all of my papers are on top of my windbreaker in my lap, and someone's knee was digging into my back, and someone else was singing loudly off-key into my left ear, and I don't know who that was, but somebody had the worst breath ever. And then we sung Ubi Caritas, where there is charity, where there is love, that is where God is. Whoa. It is a song that holds up a mirror to us. When we've got all this space, it's calm, it's quiet, it's comfortable, we're all relaxed, it's all so nice. It's such an easy song to sing. When someone's knee is digging into your back and they're singing loudly off key in this ear, and God knows where that breath was coming from. I don't really know. It was like the wind of hell. And and then, where there is charity, where there is love, that is where God is. It is a song that holds up a mirror to us. Words that seem nice and easy to understand, but are actually very, very challenging to live. But through it all, this glorious promise of a God whose very nature is love and grace and compassion and mercy, who calls us to live with one another that way. a Taizé, they have this expression. It is the simplicity on the other side of complexity. It is simple to understand, but it is not at all simplistic. Today's gospel reading for us is just like that. It is a mirror held up to us, a simplicity on the other side of complexity. Words that on the surface seem nice. I mean, really, like, these are the Beatitudes, people. Like, how could they not be nice? You know, like, blessed are these people, blessed are that people. Like, it's nice. It's nice. It's the Beatitudes. But these are very, very challenging words to live. Jesus says, so here we are in Luke. It's different from Matthew. Matthew is blessed are the poor in spirit. That's easier for all of us. But this is Luke. Blessed are the poor, period. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And we read these words and we want to ask Jesus, but how? How? How are the poor blessed? And like, when? When will they be blessed? When will the hungry be blessed? When will those who weep be blessed? And we sort of want to say, like, do you mean like they're blessed now? There's some ambiguity in the text. So like, are you saying that they are presently at this very minute, even while they are poor and hungry and weeping and persecuted, like you mean they're blessed now? And then he says, but woe to the rich. Woe to the full. Woe to the happy. Woe to the comfortable. Woe. And we want to ask Jesus, what do you mean? And what does woe mean? Like, woe, what? Woe, what do you mean? Do you mean me? When I'm happy? When I'm comfortable? When I have food to put on my table? Do you mean me? You don't mean me, right? And then there's those words that follow. Love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And we wonder, Jesus, how are we supposed to live these words? But this scripture simply stares us in the face. It is a mirror held up to us, asking us very direct and perhaps deeply uncomfortable questions that we puzzle to understand. It is truthfully a text that will read differently to each one of us, and it will read differently at each different time in our lives. Sometimes it brings hope. Sometimes it highlights our doubt. Sometimes it makes us feel defiant or anxious. This text is incredibly alive. It stares us unblinkingly in the face, a mirror held up, revealing to us exactly where we are right now on the path. Now, it is often the task of the preacher to help the congregation see the answers to the questions posed by the text. We hear a reader, we hear a reading, and the preacher's task is to answer the question, what the heck did that mean? That's why the parables are so great. Really easy for the preacher. Whoa, what the heck did that mean? Well, bang, bang, boom, we're on. But the meaning of this text is not unclear. We don't need more context or more in-depth Bible study to squeeze the meaning out of these words. The clear meaning of this text, it shines through the pages of Scripture in an unsettling way, sort of like a flashlight shining us in the eyes, leaving us with questions that cannot be answered by more information. These questions, they can only be answered by a life of faith. They must be lived to be understood. How is it that the poor and the hungry are blessed? How is it that the poor and the hungry are blessed? What is the woe that afflicts the rich and the full? These are questions that ask for our faith, that If we follow Jesus, these things will in some way, in some glimmering moments, somehow make sense to us. The great spiritual masters of Christianity have shown us little glimpses of that truth. Remember Francis, who was born rich and who followed Christ down, down, down into poverty and homelessness and incredible compassion and solidarity with the poor and an intensity of faith that has inspired millions over hundreds of years. Remember Francis. Remember Teresa, who found Christ down, down, down among the poorest of the poor, the most dispossessed of the dispossessed in Calcutta, and inspired millions. Remember Jean, the son of a Canadian diplomat, a serviceman of the Royal Canadian Navy, a distinguished academic with a fantastic career ahead of him, who found Christ down, down, down at what was then the bottom of society among developmentally disabled people and went on to form L'Arche, which has inspired millions of people around the world. They give us glimmers that it's true what Jesus says, that somehow the poor are blessed, and we don't know how. And they show us glimmers that the corresponding woes are also true, that somehow wealth and privilege, perhaps even in small amounts, shelter us protectively from the beauty of Christ shining in the world. Friends, we are here at St. George's. We are a Christian church, right? We set our feet upon the Christian path, and in our prayers, our liturgy, our faith practices, we aim to draw near to Christ and to follow him. And it's okay if today following Christ looks like something mighty hard, because it is. It can be. And that's not all it is. It's also grace when grace seems impossible, hope when all hope seems lost. It is friendship found unexpectedly among strangers. It is the strength to persevere against what feels like all odds, support and encouragement from those who, in theory, shouldn't even care about us. It's all of those things. And it's also the beauty of giving a gift to someone in need, the joy of knowing that you've made a difference, the comfort that you bring to someone when you are part of a community of care. It is all of those things. Following Christ is full of hope and promise and beauty and grace and call and challenge and the way of the saints. Following Christ is another personalized invitation to take another step in faith by the God who knows you better than you know yourself and who believes in you more than you ever will and who won't stop inviting you ever. Ever. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, but also once we're on the path, nothing can stop God from continuing to call us. God is relentless in his invitations to us. God will invite you and invite you and invite you and invite you step by step to walk a path into love and grace more than we can ask for or imagine. It is hard. There is a demand there in the Christian life, an invitation which is insistent. And it is beautiful. And it is worth everything that we are and everything that we have. And it is everything that we can be. Today is the Feast of All Saints, and we are called by our baptism to be saints. Paul writes to the saints in Ephesus. My fellow saints, to the saints in Northeast Calgary, to the saints in St. George's, my brothers and sisters, whatever it is that this text says to you, however it looks deep into your life and holds up a mirror to you, I exhort you to listen for the voice of God, gracious and merciful and compassionate, who calls you and holds out that invitation to you. I exhort you to listen for it and to receive it and to see where next on the path it will take you. That one day we may we all, this is my prayer, one day may we all understand how it is that the poor are blessed and the hungry and those who weep and the reviled. May we understand it. And may we see that glimmer of light of Christ shining in the most unexpected corners of the world. And like those saints that have gone before us, may we too shine forth. For where there is charity, where there is love, that is where God is. Amen.